Kriyamanan being made. Tan, all of them. Druman, the trees. Viksha, thing. Pitamaham, Lord Brahma. Agataham, came there. Shamayam Asha, pacified. Putran, the sons. Barhishmata, of King Barhishman. Nayaihi, by logic. Translation and purport of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. After seeing that all the trees on the surface of the earth were being turned to ashes, Lord Brahma immediately came to the sons of King Barhishman and pacified them with words of logic. Purport. Whenever there is some uncommon occurrence on any planet, Lord Brahma, being in charge of the whole universe, immediately comes to control the situation. Lord Brahma also came when Hiranyakashipu underwent severe penances and austerities and made the whole universe tremble. A responsible man in any establishment is always alert to keep peace and harmony within the establishment. Similarly, Lord Brahma is also allowed to keep peace and harmony within this universe. He consequently pacified the sons of King Barhishman with good logic. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschati Reshitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shosari Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So after seeing that all the trees on the surface of the earth were being turned to ashes, Lord Brahma immediately came to the sons of King Barhishman and pacified them with the words of logic. So earlier we've heard how when Prachetas went basically to perform austerities, and their father, who had been a king, executing the kingly managerial duties, have basically left for self-realization. He went to practice spiritual life more sincerely and dedicate himself fully for the sake of realizing his own spiritual identity and relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So at that point he wasn't very much attached to the throne, or actually wasn't considering affairs of the state at that particular point. He understood that his time had come and that he has to become serious about his own spiritual life. Because when the sons of Parchinabarhi basically underwent these particular austerities in order to procreate, in order to perform their duties, King Parchinabarhi didn't wait for them to return. He didn't wait for any particular time. Very often we find people postponing their spiritual advancement or their spiritual realization or their spiritual pursuit. They keep on finding various kinds of reasons. But that wasn't the case with King Parchinabarhi. He just left. He understood this is his time. And I don't have much time anyway, because as we know, the time is very limited in our lifetimes as well. We never know how much time we have. So being very serious about his spiritual pursuit, he left the throne and he entrusted the reign to his ministers. But as we see that ruling basically, because when there wasn't presence of strong king there, that materially and even spiritually, basically things didn't take the proper shape. And things didn't develop in a manner that they used to, they actually would, if there would be a strong ruler, the strong king. So that was something that happened. And when Prachetas completed their penances, when they came out of the water from after performing different types of austerities, and later on we understood having darshan with Lord Vishnu himself and being granted various kinds of boons, they became very angry. They became very disturbed, seeing the state of the whole country, seeing the state of the whole planet basically, which has been overgrown with the trees. As we heard a few days ago, those trees were compared to the weeds or different kind of unwanted creepers that can also sprout out along with our bhakti, and therefore they create the obstacles. So Prachetas became very angry seeing that kind of state of affairs, and being a very responsible and very good rulers, definitely they wanted to get rid of it as soon as possible. They wanted to uproot such kind of disturbances and obstacles for the sake of everyone's benefit. So they became very disturbed, they became very angry, and therefore they burned all the trees, as it is stated here. They turned all the trees into the ashes. So something here that is very important to understand is that particular state of consciousness that can actually overrun each and every one of us. That sometimes we may overdo it. Because what is going on here, Prachetas, they saw that there is an obstacle and they got disturbed, but they were not able actually to control themselves in one sense, and they decided to burn all the trees. So one thing is necessary here to understand that when we face some kind of obstacles, it's not that when something happens to us that immediately everything has to be burned down to ashes. Whatever goes on in our lives, when we see something, you know, creating path or creating some obstacle on our spiritual progress, that automatically we kind of just dump everything in one particular category and just condemn it. So we have to be very careful. There is a very fine and very particular limit also that exists there, and we have to be aware of that. Of course, it's not easy, but at least we should endeavor for such kind of understanding. So here Prachetas decided to burn all the trees. They just became so disturbed and they just wanted to get rid of it. As we understand the trees, there is nothing faulty with the trees. Trees definitely have a lot of good qualities and a lot of things that we can basically learn from the trees, that we can utilize them in various kinds of ways. So it's not that trees are absolutely non-beneficial. So just by understanding that something should be kind of disposed or get rid of in its totality, it's not very proper understanding, it's not very proper mentality. Of course, Prachetas, basically they were very great devotees of the Lord, so we may wonder how such particular state can overcome them. That at some moment, actually, they become influenced by the lower modes of the material nature. That can happen to any one of us. At any moment, we can be influenced by the lower modes of the material nature. Until we reach the level of sattva guna, or the pure goodness, where there is no influence of anger, lust, greed, envy, madness, illusion, then there is always some chance that we may get influenced by all these anarthas and therefore even fall down. So we have to be very, very cautious. We have to be very careful. And of course, what is the most advisable is to be in association of the devotees. Very often we kind of develop mentality of staying away from the devotees because they keep on pinpointing different kinds of anarthas that we have. But this is actually very helpful. It's very helpful for our spiritual advancement, because by understanding what our unwanted habits that we are cultivating, that we are having, then actually we can work on them. We can get rid of them. We can understand, hey, that yes, there is something that actually it's preventing me from the spiritual advancement. And those who are pointing to that are actually my benefactors, well-wishers. They're not my enemies. Because this is what it happens, that very often we misunderstand that whoever points out to some fault that we have, that somebody is my enemy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said that actually those who were pointing out some kind of faults, that actually they're my real friends. And those who always glorify me, those who always kind of pamper me, they're actually my enemies. So we have to understand that in association of devotees, the spiritual advancement can be therefore very easy, because we can help each other to advance. If we are alone, we will always think we are very pure devotees of the Lord, and there is no need to rectify anything that actually we do. That I can do just whatever I want, and I will think this is pure devotional service. This is the typical mentality of a Kanishta devotee. He always thinks that he is the greatest, and whatever is associated with him, that this is also equally great. But unfortunately, that is not the case, because they get covered by various kinds of anarthas again, and they misjudge everything. Misjudge the time, place, circumstances, situation, and others as well. And then again, this is another kind of road to fall down. So this is something that we have to be very careful. Of course, from another point of view, judging the reaction of the prachetas by burning the trees, yes, we have to burn our anarthas, definitely. We have to burn all the unnecessary weeds that are growing. That should be there. But again, there is a limit. There should be particular consideration as well. In terms of limit of discriminating, where is the line to stop? And if, you know, where is the point where something really affects me or something doesn't affect me? Definitely, as a devotee, we should be alert to see if something grows in such a kind of unwanted manner that we should uproot, that we should burn, like prachetas burn, basically. And we should get rid of it. But of course we have to be very careful that we don't cross the particular limit. This is something that scriptures are very often warning us of. And we have a lot of examples that when somebody takes to this some particular angry mood, that actually he becomes the victim of the lower modes of the material nature. Like we know, the anger is very difficult to control. Anger is one of the worst states actually that anyone can be influenced by. Krishna states in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Trividam Narakasyadam Dvaram Nashanam Atmanaham Tata Kroda Tata Lobas Tasmadetat Trayam Tyajet. That actually there are three gates leading to hell. Three gates leading to the hell. This lust, anger and greed. And every sane man should just get rid of them. Any sane man, we shouldn't entertain such kind of particular bad habits. And it's very difficult, because we know, again in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that anger, jayato vishayam punsa sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodo bijayate krodat bhavati samoha samoha smriti vibramaha smriti bramshat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashati. But actually this is the way, of course, by particular contemplation, attachment, lust, then passion and anger arising, that memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost, and we basically fall down. We become influenced. We fall down from our spiritual position. So that anger is very, very detrimental for our spiritual advancement. So we have to be very careful when something happens or somebody says something to us, how are we going to react? Because if we become angry and if we overdo it, then we ourselves are actually going to reap the consequences of whatever we've been overdoing it. So anger is a very, very bad habit, very bad unwanted habit. And it is said it is the brother of the lust. There are two brothers of the lust, anger and greed. When the lust is satisfied, then the greed develops. Desire for more and more and more, it's unlimited. And when it's not, then the anger takes place. And interestingly, even greed is, in one sense, actually the lust, in one sense, it's easier to control compared to the anger itself. Because Lord Shiva, when he became agitated, he became actually disturbed. He didn't become agitated. He became disturbed by the Cupid. He burned the Cupid. He didn't become lusty, but he became angry. Vishvamitra, interestingly, although he later on conquered the lust, first he was disturbed by Menaka. He couldn't control the lust. And then second time, when the Ramba came, then he was able to control the lust. But again he lost all the merit of his tapasya because he became angry. And he transferred Ramba in the kind of a rock of a rocky salt. He cursed her and he lost all his merit. So even lust can be controlled at some point, but very difficult to control the anger. Of course, anger, we know in the devotional life, it can be utilized, but as I said, there is a limit. There is a particular limit. Hanuman, Arjuna, they utilize the anger. But we have to be careful. We shouldn't overdo it. Very good example of crossing that particular limit and not being able to control those particular urges or bad habits is Lord Indra. When there was a pastime of the Govardhan Lila, Govardhan Hill, Lord Indra became very, very angry upon the residents of Vrindavan. And as we know, they're all pure devotees of the Lord. And first of all, Indra's anger wasn't justified at all. Wasn't justified at all. He just became angry because somebody didn't worship him. And he considered himself of being worshipable. So he became very angry. But for that, even from the karmakanda point of view, it's not such a major fault, it's not such a major mistake. But he became so angry that actually he resolved that he's going to send the most devastating clouds and he's completely going to destroy the whole Vraja. Not just some inhabitants that decided not to worship him, but completely everything, the whole Vraja. Animals, everything, completely, the whole land. So he just completely lost control. He became so angry. And he sent the torrents and torrents and torrents of rain. The most destructive clouds in the universe. So he crossed the limit. And therefore he was punishable. Therefore actually Krishna had to teach him a good lesson. Very interestingly, Lord Indra, in another pastime, actually realized, in one sense, what means actually to overdo some kind of a particular punishment. In the pastime of King Janamejaya and Takshaka, when actually Maharaj Parikshit had been cursed by Sringi Brahmana that he will be beaten by Takshaka, and that this particular pastime occurred, then Janamejaya, who was the son of a Parikshit Maharaj, became again very angry, very disturbed that his father had been beaten by Takshaka and killed by Takshaka, and he resolved that he's going to kill all the snakes in the universe, all the serpents. And he made a big sacrificial fire and he called all the brahmanas, he gathered them together and he said, just invoke all the serpents and snakes and just burn them all to ashes. So the Brahmana started performing a sacrificial fire, and they burned the fire, and they called the mantras. And actually, so many snakes have started falling into that yagya. And even Takshaka had been invoked by the mantras, and he started falling. But then Lord Indra protected him. Indra protected him, because Indra and Takshaka, they're very good friends. So Indra protected Takshaka from falling down. And then Parikshit, Janamejaya, he started wondering, and he asked Brahmanas, how come all the snakes, most of the snakes, they're falling, they're getting burned, but Takshaka is not falling? What is the reason for this? And then the Brahmanas, by their power of austerities, understood that actually King Indra, he's protecting Takshaka, is not allowing him to fall down. Then the Janamejaya said that actually, now you chant the mantras, let the Indra also fall down, along with Takshaka. So let them both get burned. So actually that would create a big disturbance in the all universal affairs. So then Brihaspati, who is the guru of Indra, had to react. And then he immediately appeared at the sacrificial place, and he pacified Janamejaya by speaking, like here we heard, Lord Brahma pacified Pracheta. So Brihaspati, he pacified Janamejaya, explaining to him that actually whatever happens in this material world, it's actually due to somebody's particular activities, kind of activities, either good or bad. And he was explaining, again using, like here, various kinds of logics and arguments to pursue Janamejaya from further performing this particular sacrifice. So when King Janamejaya was pacified, then he stopped that sacrifice altogether. And he told him particular background of Takshaka and Indra, and that what is their particular function. So by particular arguments, Janamejaya was pleased, and he desisted from further performance of that particular sacrifice. So he also in one sense overdid it. He burned actually snakes which were not meant really to be burned. Of course, he was stopped at the right moment, and he didn't continue with the sacrifice any further. Another very interesting example. We will see that how actually in the scriptures there are so many examples that point out to the limits of our particular way of reacting towards some particular things that happen to us, or that we consider maybe to be obstacles on our path of either devotional service or especially what to speak of sense enjoyment. Then of course that's something definitely that it's not really beneficial for spiritual life. So another example is the Dhruva Maharaj. We see when Dhruva Maharaj, he became when actually his brother was killed by a yaksha that we've heard earlier in the fourth canto. When his brother was killed by one yaksha, then Dhruva Maharaj became so angry. Of course, anger for kshatriya is nothing uncommon. It's not difficult for kshatriya to become angry. Like even Dhruva Maharaj himself, he became very angry upon not being accepted by his father. So he determinedly went to perform austerities. So kshatriyas, they do become more influenced by the rajaguna. So Dhruva Maharaj became very angry, but already by that time he has been blessed by Lord Vishnu, and he is a pure devotee of Krishna. But he became so angry that yaksha had killed his brother. And he decided to kill all the yakshas. And he started fighting with them and killing them. It was a tremendous battle taking place. And he was killing them, so many. He killed thousands and so many of them. I don't know how many. He killed so many of them. But actually then, again, the higher authorities became alarmed and they became disturbed by such kind of activity. And Svayambhuva Manu, who is the grandfather of Dhruva, he appeared on the scene and he pacified him. He said that only one yaksha killed your brother, and it's not necessary to keep on disturbing, actually killing, and unnecessarily causing violence and pain to others. They didn't do anything wrong. Just because you identify them with that one particular yaksha, that is not a reason for them to be killed. So therefore, whenever something in our spiritual life, say, happens to us, or we become very bitter about something going on in terms of dealings with others, then we shouldn't just outrightly condemn everybody else who may be, say, either associating or working closely with that particular person or being related to that particular person, that we outrightly just condemn everything and everybody and start blaspheming and even worse, you know, doing something against those particular, in our case, devotees. It's a very detrimental for the spiritual life. Then we will get a reaction for that as well. Whatever we actually, and in any way we overdo in anything, in overreacting to whatever is happening, then we will also have to pay the price, very heavy price for that. So we have to be very careful. So the best thing is really to rise above that level, that Kanishta level of understanding. It's a bodily actually understanding, me and mine. I and whatever is associated with me, and then like complete discrimination, black and white. There is nothing in between. And whoever, say, is associated with it, maybe somebody else who had maybe said something to us or done something to us, then we immediately discriminate everybody else like as lifetime enemies. So we have to be very careful in our spiritual life. How do we deal with others and how do we accept things that actually happen to us? How do we understand what happens to us? We may become disturbed, yes, if something creates an obstacle to, say, our own personal spiritual life. We may consider something, hey, yes, there might be some particular obstacle or there may be something really happening that is disturbing my spiritual life. But we have to be very careful that if we want to rectify this or correct or somehow or other avoid it, that we don't overdo it. Because this is the whole lesson that is going through this. This is that has been presented in this particular verse, that we have to be careful of overdoing some particular activity in a very negative way. We have to know where is the limit. Otherwise, we will become punishable as well. In a management as well, there has to be some kind of a punishment, of course. If somebody is, in one sense, neglectful towards his duties, or somebody is not eager to follow the authority, there has to be some means. Of course, we know from the Vedic point of view, there are four things. There is dana, there is beda, there is danda, and there is one more thing. What is that? Forgot. Sama, yes. There are four things. There are four things, basically. So we may kind of diplomatically or whatever, of course, that can be also used in Krishna consciousness, use different kinds of particular means to rectify some particular person. And of course, try our best. It shouldn't be with that angry mood. It shouldn't be with some kind of a grudge against someone or something that has been done. We should be, I mean, managerially, whenever anybody is in any particular position, it should be understood that it's for the benefit and the welfare of everyone, not just one particular person or the side or whatever. So managers definitely has to be very competent in that sense and very much Krishna conscious. Then things will work very fine. Then it will be very easy. Otherwise it may become very difficult. And a lot of reactions may sprout out for any particular kind of action which might not be appropriate. So it's not easy. There is that very interesting story about the dog from Ramayana when he has been kicked by a brahmana. And then usually Lord Ramachandra doesn't receive any complaint, but he always keeps the door open for anything similar kind of like that that might happen. And he always inquires from ministers, is there anything wrong that happened today? Is anybody complaining? Can we rectify? Is there anything that can be done? And always ministers would say, no, there is nothing going on. Everything is fine. But still Lord Ramachandra would every time inquire. And then at one time, one minister say, yeah, well, something happened, but actually it's not important, it doesn't matter. But then Lord Ramachandra required, no, tell me, what did happen? So then the minister say, well, there was one dog saying that some brahmana was walking around on the road and he had a bad day and he just kicked the dog. And dog didn't do anything. He wasn't faulty at all. So, but then Lord Ramachandra said, no, no, the dog is also a citizen of our state. He's also a part of all our larger families, so we should also do the justice to the dog. So then they were all perplexed what to do. Because Brahmana in one sense shouldn't be punished, but the dog also should he also be satisfied in some way. He should be also protected. So then they were arguing and were kind of trying to come up with some kind of solution, the ministers, and then they finally decided, okay, let's call the dog itself, let him give the judgment. So then what the dog said, that actually you make this a Brahmana, the something like a temple president or the head of one particular math. And then everybody was kind of shocked and they wondered, you know, what kind of punishment is that? Seems like more like a reward rather than a punishment. And then they asked the dog, why did you give him such kind of a such kind of so-called punishment, or why did you decide to do this? Because the dog said, this is what I was in my previous life. So managerial position is actually very responsible, responsible and not such an easy task. We have to be very careful. We have to know where are the limits. We have to be very well versed with the way how to deal with others. Not to again overdo it, because very often when we see things happening in an improper manner, we tend to either, like in these cases, overpunish, or to even commit some particular kind of offenses. And then this is going definitely to create an obstacle on our own devotional, in our own devotional life. Of course, managerially, the most ideal situation would be, of course, you know, kshatriyas have that tendency to become angry, and but the most ideal would be some kind of a combination of a Brahmana and a kshatriya. Because Brahmana have more that quality of forgiveness, quality of the forgiveness. That's the beauty of the Brahmana. Chanakya Pandit says that chastity is the beauty of a wife or a woman. Nice singing is the beauty for the black cuckoo bird, for the Shudra to serve his master, for Vaishya to protect the cows, for ugly man it's the knowledge, for Kshatriya it's heroism, but for Brahmana it's forgiveness. So if something happens to any one of us, basically we should be very forgiving. We should be very forgiving. This is the ornament of the Brahmana. And even say, if we are on the position that we are supposed to correct someone, we should be very careful that this is within the limits. Because if it's not within the limits, then we'll have to undergo some kind of punishment ourselves. We have to undergo some kind of reaction. And this is something that is presented in the scriptures and that is presented in these words. We have to act within the limits. It's not just we burn all the trees, we just killed all the yakshas, we just, you know, burn again all the snakes. It has to be something done within the limits, very soberly, very Krishna conscious. And another very important point, even if something, say, happens to us, if we come to be some kind of a part of some kind of judging, that we understand and take these things very Krishna conscious again, and that we ourselves become forgiving about it, whatever happened, not to keep on grudge eternally for the lifetimes, because that's something that's definitely going to affect relationships and the service and everything else. Very often devotees find themselves being hurt by various ways, by various people, and they don't forget, and they keep on being angry and angry more and more. Anger as a quality is, it's like, actually, it's, of course we know it's a bad quality, but it's like an acid which burns the container itself in which it is stored. It's very toxic. It creates so many various kinds of negative things within that person itself who stores it. We should get rid of that anger. And being not forgiving, that's also very similar to it. It's like it said, like the example is given, like a coal, like you're carrying a coal. Just imagine carrying the coal all the time. And then just waiting, where is that person who had hurt me or against whom I have some particular grudge? Where is that person so I can throw it upon him? What's the use? Look at your hands afterwards. What happens to your hands? You're carrying that coal, you're carrying that grudge against someone. So that should, we should get rid of this. The person we are actually hurting the most is us. Non-forgiving and being angry about something or someone is the worst thing that can happen in anyone's devotional life. So not forgiving, it doesn't mean that, you know, we are completely just ourselves at fault. It doesn't mean again that we could something, if something keeps on happening, that if we keep on being abused, that we tolerate that. That also doesn't mean forgiveness. We shouldn't tolerate, but we shouldn't react ourselves. Anyway, as a whole, we can discuss this in a lot of details. But and anyway, but from another point of view, again, also forgiveness doesn't mean that, you know, we just forget about it. Because if we just keep on forgetting, we won't learn anything out of it. Maybe there is something valuable to learn, and that is another advantage actually of whatever happens to us in our devotional life, that we can learn something from the, you know, obstacles, from the particular things happening in our lives. We can learn a lot. Another thing what forgiveness actually means is actually that we see the hand of Krishna within it. Nothing happens. Not even a blade of grass moves. Something must be going on there. That is for our own purification, and that's something we can learn. That's something that can make us more stronger in the spiritual life. And we shouldn't be holding anything within ourselves, because as I said, it will hurt us more and more, day and day out, if we keep on being, you know, keep on that grudge and that hurt within ourselves, then it will always just hurt us basically. We will suffer the most. And another worst thing is about not being forgiving towards someone else, is that actually we create an atmosphere and an environment, very negative atmosphere, very negative environment, and we affect others by constantly thinking about it and talking about it. So there is nothing positive about it. There's no any question of against spiritual life. They're always completely, absolutely dwelling on some particular thing that happened some 10 billion years ago to me. And that particular person did this, and that particular person did that. And the worst thing is, especially if we try to take everything in our own hands and try to rectify things. That is Kanishta mentality. There are authorities, if there is something happening, and we should just hand it out to them. And that's it. We're not the ones who are supposed to do anything about it. First of all, neither we are qualified, neither we can't do it. It'll just create a bigger mess and bigger problem. And another point, again, we can overdo it, and there we ourselves are going to reap the consequences and reaction for that. So better to keep everything upon authority. Otherwise, it means we don't have either faith in them, or we don't have faith in Krishna ultimately, or in Srila Prabhupada's movement, or Srila Prabhupada's process. So then what kind of devotees then we are? Then we didn't understand that actually, yes, everything is in Krishna's hands. Whatever happens, hey, must be opportunity for something else, for me to advance spiritually. And maybe there are anarthas within myself as well that I have to work upon. And not just keep on constantly being negative and being negative, being negative. And as I said, it's like an acid, like a coal. It will burn us ourselves. So we have to be forgiving. And of course, we have to be surrounded by very responsible and very loving authorities. And this is something like here in these cases of Prachetas. Brahma immediately became alarmed. Or Brihaspati in case of Janamejaya. Or Svayambhuva Manu in case of Dhruva. They became alarmed and they're immediately pacified by the good logic, by the Krishna conscious arguments. All those devotees who a little bit overdid it, who were swayed away by the little lower modes of material nature. So anyway, overall message of this particular verse is that we have to be careful whenever, you know, with something, say, happens or something disturbs our spiritual life, how do we react? Like Prachetas here. They also taught us a very interesting lesson, that we shouldn't overreact, that we should act within the limits, and we should understand that how everything in spiritual life actually has its own purpose and utility, that there is a lot of good lessons that we can learn from it. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Ram Rup Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. In the middle of your lecture, you are mentioning that all the snakes which are not meant to be killed, they were killed. But actually there is a history behind this pastime, in the sense that when there was a fight between Kadru and Vinata, Kadru cursed her own sons, saying that because you did not listen to me, when Janmejaya Maharaj would perform sacrifice, Sarpayaga, all of you will die. And some of the snakes, they agreed, okay, because of the being afraid of being cursed. So then they went and cooperated with, so they were spared. Mm-hmm. So that is there is a reason why all these snakes have to be killed. And also, when Bhimsen was killing, he went once, Draupadi wanted one very nice flower, and then Bhimsen went, and then he killed so many lakhs. So one would wonder why, he was killing so many people like that. But actually later on, Kuvera says that actually there was a curse that one of the Pandavas would come and kill so many of your thing. So you came and killed so many of them, now you stop it. So like that, there is a reason for this genocide also.
Thank you. So whatever happens, we should understand that there is some reason behind.
Yeah.
Thank you. But still, again, then how you don't overdo it, then we can keep on praying that somebody, comes and, kind of prevents us at the right moment. Because if that doesn't happen, if we don't listen, yes, the point is when we don't listen, then actually it's our fault. Because many times, yes, do authorities warn us, don't keep on doing the same things, don't keep on doing mistake, you rectify, thing. And then if you don't follow, then we are guilty. Then actually we have to reap the reaction. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, what do you think? Someone expresses anger against us. Should we face the anger or should we leave the place if we are not able to face the anger?
Well, we should leave the place. There are a few things that are mentioned that if somebody reacts, if somebody blasphemes, actually, they said if somebody offends or blasphemes either Guru or Krishna, that if you're capable of defeating him by the argument, the logic, by scriptural argumentation, then you should debate with such kind of person, actually defeat him. If you're not able to do that, then, if he's blaspheming or, actually you should kill him. If you can't do that, then you should leave the place. Otherwise, you yourself become contaminated and part of that particular blessing. Okay, Murali Krishna, bro. Behind on the chair.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. जब खुद कद्रु और विंता की जब स्टोरी आती है तो उसमें देखा जाए तो जिस सांपों ने कद्रु का साथ दिया था तो उनको पनिशमेंट मिलना चाहिए क्योंकि एक्चुअली जो हर्ष सफेद था तो ऐसा नहीं होना चाहिए जिसने अन्याय का मार्ग स्वीकारा उनको तो फायदा मिल गया और जो लोग अन्याय नहीं कर रहे थे उनको पनिशमेंट मिला ये कैसा है.
Is that comment or question? Huh? Question? Well, then I need translation. I didn't understand half. What can I do?
In the story of Kadru and Vinata, the snakes which did not cooperate with Kadru, they were cursed to die. But actually they were lawful, justified. They are following dharma of not telling lies or whatever. But those snakes who told lies and cooperated with Kadru, they got saved. So this is injustice, you are saying.
Really, it's like this?
Huh?
It was like that?
Yeah.
Anyway, there must be some other reason. Okay. Right. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shla Prabhupada ki jai.